Well, good morning, Jack, or should I say good evening?
Yes, good evening here in Australia. Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining me today, Jack. Tell us a little bit about your business, just so the audience have some context about around what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, sure. So I have two businesses. Primarily, I'm a physiotherapist by trade, and I have a physiotherapy clinic in Newcastle in Australia, which is near Sydney. So that is a B2C business. It is a service-based bricks and mortar physiotherapy clinic. And where you have, we have four locations spread across about 25 kilometers or 15 miles here in regional Australia. I also have Clinic Mastery, which is education and coaching for other health professionals in business. So we effectively help other physiotherapists, podiatrists, osteopaths, chiropractors to grow their clinic. So that's a B2B business based entirely virtually and all online with our coaching. And we do a few events as well in person around Australia. So I wear a couple of hats, Chris.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think you've got, I love the congruence between both businesses and obviously been following your journey over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's been incredible to see how both of those businesses have grown. And I want to give the audience a little bit of a flavor of how content marketing has played a role in that growth. I know you've done a bunch of different things. So I would love to know, first of all, I think for the audience to get an idea of this journey, is where content marketing became a thing for you. So where it sort of all started or where you got that inspiration from, and then we can kind of walk through the journey about how content marketing has helped you to grow your businesses and ultimately grow into actually establishing more than one business.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I guess when you get a couple of years into something, it's really hard to know where it began. But I think for me, I bought my physio practice as a one location, two man band. And I knew really quickly that if I wanted to grow a business that didn't depend on me and wasn't just my hands and my tools doing the work, that I needed to create a brand. I needed to create a reproducible authority in the space so that our clients or our patients didn't want to just see me, but they were happy to come to our business. I think at the time, and this was around 2015, you know, social media was really taking off, video was a new thing, and so we really wanted to be as helpful as possible. You know, anyone who starts a business gets into it for more than just the service or product they provide, but for the outcomes and solutions that you want for your clients. And so I really just wanted to be helpful. I really wanted to be as practical as possible and in a service-based expert business, give away as much of our knowledge as possible. I don't really know where that came from, Chris, because I think it's probably a little bit counterintuitive to most that would, you know, put up a paywall or not give away their IP. I don't know. So that was an interesting evolution, but I really just wanted to help from day one. So someone told me I needed to do video and I needed to be on Facebook and social media. So I just did. I just did and quickly came across yourself on Snapchat. I believe we first met and I learned so much from yourself and the Content Marketing Academy. And it's been quite an evolution. There was something in me that wanted to help so much that I knew content was the best way to do that, to give it all away.
It's funny because the more that I talk to people about content marketing, the more teaching that we do, the people that find it really easy sort of just get it. Like from the start, it's sort of like it's something that's in them. They want to teach, they want to help, they want to educate, and that it just fits with their own personality, their own philosophy. It just makes sense that this is the way that we should communicate. This is the type of content that we should create.
Right.
They just get it, right? It's just in you,
Yeah,
which is.
that word philosophy really resonates with me. I think it's a lifestyle. It's not a tactic. And I know this is all something that I've learned mostly from yourself, but it really was. It's a value that I hold really dearly around creating content and desperately wanting to help others. It's not just a tick the box activity by any stretch. It's a philosophy.
So how did that become a reality? So we take the philosophy or the concept, having a, I guess the main thing here, the main thread of motivation for you is to build a business that doesn't rely heavily upon you day to day, but something that's generating leads, generating customers, you know, and all the rest of the systems and processes that go into building a business just like that. What does content marketing look like for your businesses then?
It's taken such an evolution over a couple of years, and there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, or at least I found when I started to just want to create content. For me, the easiest place was thinking about the questions that our clients or our deal clients were already asking us, or they were thinking in their heads but hadn't actually verbalized. So simple FAQs on a website, like that was a really good place to start. I remember doing our FAQs page and thinking, why do these need to just be one paragraph or one or two sentences like every other FAQ? What's the chances we could turn this into a richer video or a richer article for our blog that might be practically helpful rather than just another useless collection of FAQs? So that's where it started for us, expanding out those FAQs. And then, you know, once you've exhausted those 10 or 12 FAQs, thinking of what are the other questions that we can answer? What are our receptionists? What are the questions that our receptionist gets on the phone? Let's document those. And I'm going to do a video. So for every question that I could possibly imagine, I just got in front of a video and answered it. Got in front of a phone with a camera and answered it. That's where we start.
Yeah, I can remember. Actually, this is all kind of it's quite interesting for me, even going through these stories as well and thinking back. I remember you doing video, and it was early. It felt early with video, like nobody else was really doing it or talking about it. Although video has been obviously huge for years, but it's been getting into businesses has been difficult, I think. And I think you definitely showed us, or you're showing a lot of people at that time, how to do video. It was awesome to watch you do that. And so you went from FAQs, let's just pick the lesson out here, I think, which is really interesting, Jack, is the sort of that foresight to sort of think, you know what, why do we need to do it just like everybody else? Couldn't we, when we're doing any of our content release, what you're saying here, this sort of like rule of thumb or this philosophy is to say, when we're doing our content, let's make it as helpful as possible. Let's make it deeper, richer, more valuable for our customers, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And the couple of lessons that really stood out to me was progress over perfection, right? At the start, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I love details. And it was really easy to get hung up on that. So I just decided that we're going to do this and we're going to refine it and polish it as we go. But progress over perfection was a big one. And I think, you know, I'm actually re-listening to Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People as we speak. So it's a little bit front of mind. But the concept of beginning with the end in mind really helped me get over things like that imposter syndrome that people might have heard of. You know, getting on camera in a small, you know, we're not a large community where I'm based. And so there was a lot of fear of, oh, people are going to think, what are people going to think of me? They're going to think I'm a big shot, or is their ego at play here? And I really had to go, well, what's the end goal? I want to create a big business so that I can do big good. I really want to help a lot of people, a business that is sustainable to provide a really healthy profit and passive income for me eventually. That's going to take a business doing over $1 million. I'm going to have to get comfortable with a level of, what's the word? Not notoriety, but fame, essentially, you know, a bit of fame in our own backyard. And so although there was those feelings, I just had to go, right, progress over perfection. What's the end goal here? Let's begin with the end in mind. And if people think I'm a bit of an upshot, I just got to get over that, because I'm holding steadfast to the goal. And, you know, it's funny, we look back now, Chris, and some of those early videos that I did have really laid a platform. It's actually, in one of the communities we're in, it's quite challenging for me to even go to the local shopping center without someone, you know, tapping me on the shoulder and going, hey, are you that physio with a beard that I keep seeing on Facebook? Can I ask you a question about my sore back? And I think some people would shudder at the thought of that. And it's a little bit strange. But, you know, now I go, these are the days that I wished for. These are the days that I believed for. These are the days that I bled for. What a privilege. What an opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's funny that because I think that challenge, it holds a lot of people back, I think, from producing the content, that imposter syndrome. And I think it's great to bring up beginning with the end in mind as a lesson, a philosophy as well, to sort of say that, you know, you've got to have an idea that's bigger than just, in other words, if I do this piece of work now, it might feel uncomfortable, but I know I've got something larger at play here. I know what I'm working towards, right, and I have to get through this.
The cost is worth it.
So when we talk about Terrace Physio Plus, the bricks and mortar business, how's content marketing, let's talk kind of results or at least a little bit tangibility around the work that you've done and how that's helped your business to grow, get more customers. What's the effect been?
Oh, it's been huge on a number of fronts. I mean, tangibly, we grew 3x. In about 2 years, from a not insignificant base, from doing, you know, a couple of $100,000 a year, we grew three times really quickly. And it was largely off content. There was a little bit of paid distribution behind that, but content was the core philosophy and approach. We grew from one location to five, although now we've consolidated to four without sacrificing our growth. We were able to employ, like cumulatively, I think it was 27 or 28 people across the space of 4 years. We become known as one of the preeminent providers of physio in our demographic, in our location. We outrank Medicare in Australia, which is our equivalent of the NHS for a couple of health-related search terms. The inbound leads that we get of people saying, I saw your video on Facebook, I read a blog article. They happen every day, every week, every month, still from content that, I mean, just this week, I personally fielded an inquiry from someone who read an article we wrote in 2016, over 4 years ago. It's incredible. Sorry, over 3 years ago. But very tangible and ongoing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, this is the time frame's interesting here because we've done a bunch of these interviews recently, these sort of capturing and documenting these stories, and there's like this 2-3-4 year window that people are at just now, and they're really starting to see the fruits of their labor. In other words, you've got articles from like 3 years ago that are driving inbound leads that these leads aren't really, you know, these are essentially the cheapest leads, but also highly qualified leads as well.
Yep, absolutely. It just keeps on rolling.
That's so interesting. I love that. That's the part of the story that people need to hear, I think, that are just getting started on this journey, because I think a lot of when they go out and they think they want to do content marketing, they start getting educated, they start listening to stories, they start reading blogs and watching videos and etc. And they hear this, it's the long game, you know, it's the long term game, and automatically they think, well, it's a lot of work for results that I'm not going to get for a long time. And I think they need to hear that story, Jack, where that you are starting to see like those amazing results coming from your content that you created years ago. However, I think it's also interesting to touch on your story with Clinic Mastery and how quickly content took a hold with that company.
Yeah, so Clinic Mastery is an interesting evolution for me because it's a completely different business. It's B2B. It's virtual, it's global. And so there were some unique opportunities for me that I was really, really interested to explore. And so we went all in. When I joined the Clinic Mastery team, which was quite early in its infancy, I joined the team as the fourth partner, fourth director, and we went all in on content. And similar but probably larger results, Chris.
Yeah, I think what I remember talking to you about, I can't remember if this has got to be 2 years ago or something like that. How long have you been with Clinic Mastery for?
Yeah, I've been with Clinic Mastery for about 2.5 years now.
2.5 years, yeah. And I remember looking at the analytics, and it went from, because this is the part that people need to understand too. And it's a case study and a story that I share with people when we're working with them, Jack, is that, yep, we hear this about the long-term gain, all getting that long tail, those results 3-4 years from now from your content. But what's possible in the short term? And I think your work with Clinic Mastery showed that in a very short space of time, like 3 months or so, with regular content blogs, you can get results.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. We committed to regularly producing blogs and videos, primarily blogs, is written, rich content. And we knew that as we measured our funnel, if we could, we knew the end conversions that we needed. We really wanted to help 200 clinic owners graduate through our academy. And we just worked the numbers backwards. If that's how many clients we need, how many prospects do we need, how many leads do we need, how much traffic do we need? And we set the bar there. And it happened really quickly. The numbers were astounding. We four times our traffic, like almost overnight, like you said, within 3 months. And we ended up with more traffic, more leads, prospects, customers than we could handle. Scale became a real issue.
Now that's awesome. And I think it's important for people to understand that it is possible to get results quickly too. Now we you and I both know that you're going to get better and better results as time goes on, but it is possible to get those results. I think you've kind of sort of as a side note just mentioned almost a part of your strategy there as well, in terms of, you know, how do you know what content to create, how much content to create, when to create it. And it's like, again, starting with the end in mind, going like, how many clients do we want, prospects, leads, traffic, what content do we need to create? And very simply, that's a great way to approach it. So for those listening, Jack, what would you say, like if they're getting started with content marketing today, what would be your advice for people? What should they be doing? What should they be thinking about?
Oh, there's so many opportunities, but to keep it really simple, I would suggest really listening to the questions that your prospects and clients are asking you, and commit to answering those richly on a regular basis. Listen and commit. And I think if you can do both of those, really listen, you'll get such an insight into not just the questions that your prospects and clients are asking, but their real challenges. Like, look for the question behind the question. We've found now with both of our businesses that we've answered all the superficial questions. We're answering what people are asking, and we've found the low-hanging fruit. But as you listen deeper, find their real challenges, the unasked questions. So listen and then commit. Find a flow that works for you. Get accountable to someone and actually create content. I don't mind whether it's video or written or audio. It's so easy to start a podcast or to dictate a blog, but commit to answering those questions on a regular basis and you'll find a rhythm, you'll find a flow. Listen and commit would be the lessons, I think.
In your experience, Jack, what is it that really, I know it was easy for you, it was like it was you had the intent inside you, the intrinsic motivation to want to help, and it's going to be there forever for you. No matter what business you go to, you're going to be creating content. But in your experience with other people, it could be your team members, it could be other clients you're working with. What is truly, why can't they catch this vision? And what is it that sort of stops them from saying, oh, it sounds so simple. Like, answer questions, listen with intent, you know, go deeper and commit and that this is the way that you're going to communicate. What do you feel is truly holding people back from making that move, from moving forward with that?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this and my answer changes from time to time. But at the moment, my perspective would be, I wonder if people are scared of the potential success. I wonder if there's a fear of, what if this actually works? What if I am able to provide answers for people and they do want to work with me off the back of that? I wonder if people are actually more scared of growth than they realize. And I know for me that I'm so driven to help people, have such a big picture of what I want to do with my life and the number of people that we're going to impact and help. And so I'm just desperate to chase that. But I wonder if so many people are comfortable with the status quo and they're scared of the results, because it's quite obvious. We know that this works. There's tangible evidence that if you get this right, the outcome is ready for the taking. And so probably comfort with the status quo or fear of success, I wonder, is what's holding people back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting, something for people to think about and ponder. I think you're right. I think a lot of the associated fears and the way that it manifests in their life is because of those two things, that a fear of success or that sort of just being too comfortable. Absolutely. Thanks very much for sharing your story today, Jack. It's great to hear. The great thing about your story is you've got the B2B side, you've got the B2C side, you've got the long-term results, you're seeing the short-term results, you're seeing real growth in both a bricks and mortar business and an online coaching and consulting business, which is incredible. It's great work and it's so good to see your growth. I'm just glad that we were able to play a part of it and be able to spend some time today to capture and document a little bit of that journey. So thank you very much for that.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you.
If people want to pick your brain or ask a question about anything that you've covered today, Jack, where's the best place for people to connect with you?
Yeah, there's a number of different places, but probably on Instagram is the best place to get in touch with me at the moment. So at Jack D. O'Brien, Jack D, as in Jack Daniels, the whiskey. My father was enjoyed a drink or two. So I'm Jack D. O'Brien on Instagram.
Are you literally named after whiskey?
I'm literally named after Jack Daniels whiskey.
Well, I've known you for years. I never knew that.
There you go.
Well, that's the title of the podcast sorted out. That's great. Thanks so much, Jack. It's really great spending time with you. I really appreciate you and all the work that you do and all the success to you, mate, for all the work that you do. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Chris.